Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic. Today's Thursday, February 16th, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and we are at page 61, the second paragraph, starting with our actor is self-centered through concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity. On the next page, we're going to be commenting on one paragraph only. Today's readers are, thank you for your service, the 12 Steps, Joanne L., the 12 Traditions, Karen W., readers of the text, Jody E., Betsy H., Robin P., our newcomer greeters, Carla C., and announcements will be Leslie W. The reference numbers for yesterday's meeting, Wednesday, February 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,968. That's 19968. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, February 16th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 19,970. That's 19970. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. Will Joanne L. please read the 12 steps of OA?
Good morning, Laura W. Thank you for your service. And good morning, world. We have the whole world on the line. I am Joanne L., and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thanks, Joanne L. I'll now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality and before personalities. And thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Karen W. Thanks so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And please use the star 1 feature instead of the mute button on your phone. It helps us to hear you better. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 61, the second paragraph, starting with our actor is self-centered through the next page, ending with concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity. And we are reading and sharing on just that one paragraph. I will now ask Jody E. to begin reading and get us started.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from California. Our actor is self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. He is like the retired businessman who lolls in the Florida sunshine in the winter, complaining of the sad state of the nation. The minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century. Politicians and reformers who are sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave. The outlaw safecracker who thinks society has wronged him. And the alcoholic who has lost all and is locked up. Whatever our protestations, are not most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity? Ah, yes. So, I like these descriptions of the different kinds of people, the retired businessman, the minister, the politicians. We all have our ideas of the way we think things should be and the way things should go. And sometimes that's all I can see is what I believe, what I think. I think I know what is right for the rest of the players. But the truth is that I don't. Every single one of the players in the world has their own idea of how things should go and what they think they need and what they think they want. I'm only one more bozo on the bus, as we say sometimes. So I have to realize that. I have to realize that I am just one among many human beings. And if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to be sane, if I'm going to be recovered, I have to pray for knowledge of God's will, the will of the greater good. What is the best thing for all concerned, not just for my little plans and designs, but for the greater good? And even there, I can think, well, I know what's best for the greater good. Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But certainly my higher power does. That's kind of what defines a higher power for me. The higher power is all-knowing. A higher power can see the big picture, while I only see this little, my little picture. So I better start praying for knowledge of God's will for us, not just for me, but for us, so that I can get in to the flow of goodness and participate in that rather than bucking up against the flow of what God's will is. That way I can relax and take it easy and feel good about my contributions to the world. So that's what I have, and I look forward to your shares. I pass.
Thanks, Jody E. Thank you so much for getting us started. And although we value your experience, before I start taking names, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, we ask that you hold back and let other voices be heard. And I'll start taking names. When you say your name, please give me the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Freya H., Colorado.
Wendy B., Arizona.
Freya H., Wendy B.
Nicole R., California.
Nicole R.
Becca R. from Kentucky.
Becca R.
Leslie W.
Leslie W. Could take one more in this round.
Vanessa G., New Mexico.
Vanessa G., New Mexico. Great. That's a great lineup. So I'll tell you who I have. I've got Freya H., Wendy B., Nicole R., Becky R., or is it Becca? I'm sorry, Becca R., Leslie W., and Vanessa G. So Freya H., please get us started. Freya, please press star 1 to unmute.
I'm sorry. Thought I was unmuted.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Freya H., a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. I'm in Colorado. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, Jody, for that lead share. I used to have a really hard time relating to this particular paragraph. Like, I could relate to the previous paragraphs. Like, okay, yeah, I'm the actor, and I think that I'm should be telling everybody else what to do. But this part, I kind of identified out. So it was helpful for me to try to pull out what are the principles of each of these illustrations that they're offering. So, you know, the retired businessman who lolls in the Florida sunshine in the winter, complaining of the sad state of the nation. You know, do I spend my time focusing on what's negative? You know, do I just think, oh, if they would all do it my way? The minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century, am I someone who is living a spiritual life, but complaining about others, or thinking that I'm living a spiritual life, but just really focused on, well, other people aren't living a spiritual life. They should be in a 12-step program, blah, blah, blah. Politicians and reformers who are sure all would be utopia. You know, do I think I know what's best? You know, like, do I have this vision of like, oh, if everybody would just do this, then, you know, if you guys would just behave, then we could, you know, get on with this business of, you know, living a perfect life, being perfect people. The outlaw safecracker who thinks society has wronged him. Do I think the rules don't apply to me? You know, do I think that, yeah, other people need to do that, but I'm different. You know, like I don't need to follow that rule. I'm an exception. And the, you know, the compulsive eater who isn't getting my way and is locked up in my own self-pity. You know, I can relate to that for sure. So that was really helpful for me to, you know, to just put a little more work into identifying in here, because one of the most striking thing about this entire section of the book as we're leading up to step three is that it has nothing to do with the substance. You know, this is the underlying, this is the illustration of the underlying spiritual malady that all of us, you know, suffer from regardless of what substance we have come to be addicted to. So that is so powerful because it speaks to my heart in a way of like, this is addressing this part of me that knew that there's something more going on than just I have this problem with food, and this is describing it. And so seeing myself in these pages is really such an important key to freedom. So thank you so much. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thanks, Freya H. from Colorado. Thanks for sharing. Up next is Wendy B. from Arizona, followed by Nicole R. Wendy, please share with us.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And just like the previous share, you know, about looking at the principles underlying each scenario. And I just love this paragraph because I can relate to the scenario so well, you know, being like the retired businessman lolling in the sunshine while he's complaining of, you know, the sad state of the nation. You know, it's a picture of someone just wanting to complain, you know, but not willing to lift a finger to change anything. You know, he's all talk, but no action. And, you know, he wants to sound like he cares without really making any effort. You know, his real priority is his own comfort. And, you know, and the minister who sighs, you know, over the sins of the 20th century, you know, is self-righteous. You know, he's pointing fingers at everyone else, not living up to God's standards. You know, he's a hypocrite, you know, with no real love for the world, just judgment. And, you know, the politicians and the reformers who are sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave, you know, they're thinking their way is the only right way to think. You know, they're trying to inflict their viewpoint on everyone else, you know, trying to control, wanting everyone to behave and live up to their standards of, you know, what is right. And then the outlaw safecracker, you know, who thinks society has wronged him, you know, he's not taking responsibility for his own actions. You know, he's breaking laws and overstepping boundaries and thinking he's deserving, you know, because he was wronged in the past. And he's thinking like a victim, you know, like he can take whatever he wants, you know, because it's owed to him, you know. And then the alcoholic who has lost all, you know, and he's locked up, you know, he's lost all because of the consequences of his actions, you know, his selfishness drove his family away, you know, his choices of pursuing alcohol instead of living in a responsible life led him to lose everything, you know, and he's locked up because he's deemed a danger to himself or to others, you know, and he still wants to blame his misfortunes on everyone else, you know. And I can just see the selfishness so clearly in all the examples, because that was me, you know. It's just such a good picture of my immaturity, you know, before recovery. You know, it was all about my preoccupation with self, you know, and the different ways it manifested. And I'm just so grateful that Bill included this paragraph, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Wendy B. from Arizona. Thanks so much. Up next is Nicole R., followed by Becca R. Nicole, please share with us.
Hello. Can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nicole R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in California. Okay, so page 61, self-centeredness. Yeah, that is the root of our disease, isn't it? So, and I like that this is kind of, you know, especially brought up in step three, because in step three, you know, steps one through maybe four or five, it's your fault. Everything that's wrong in my life is your fault. It's everyone else's fault. It's you know, it's the winter, it's the state of the nation, it's the politicians, it's society, it's everyone else's fault. And then step five, I see my wrongs. And step six, I really need these to be removed, these defects to be removed, because that's the root of my disease and all of my, you know, everything that's wrong. But it's still self-pity. So then we get to, you know, step 11, and it says, and so I like that this part of step three is tied to step 11, because later on page 86 of the big book, it says, you know, on awakening, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And so I do that every day, and I'm really grateful to God for, you know, the state that I live in because of this connection that we're built, that we built to a higher power. So, I also wanted to say that, you know, the self-centeredness, acknowledging that it is self-centeredness is part of the awakening, because before, like I said, it's everyone else's fault. It's not me, if that's what I think, at least. In working these steps, we become more God-centered, and he right-sizes our other-centeredness. And so we can recover. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. Thank you for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Nicole R. from California. Thanks for sharing. Up next is Becca R., followed by Leslie W. Becca, please share with us.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And I just wanted to chime in about the just total self-centeredness around this paragraph. All I was concerned about was me. What am I going to get? What am I not going to get? Fairness and equality is so important to me. I want to get my fair share. If you do this, I'll do that. And so when I read this, it, you know, as a recovered person today, it's easy to see when I was in the food, like knee deep in the food, in the bulimia, the restricting, I can so see the Becca R. who was in this non-recovered state struggling with this self-centeredness. But how does it look like today for me? And this is just a little snippet of where I'm at today in regards to the self-centeredness and concern is I've had some hormonal issues. And so with that, I found myself telling myself this story, like this is happening to me, when that's not the truth. And I'm so happy that I have a program where I can do this inventory process and at the end of the day kind of look at my day and see where that dishonesty is coming in. And for me, it's telling myself the story that I'm unique, that I'm different, that no one else is going through this. This is only me, and this is so hard. And it's not true. I just wanted to chime in on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Becca R. from Kentucky. Leslie W. is going to be up next, but before Leslie shares, just a reminder, if you came on late, where we are today, we're reading from the big book on page 61, the second paragraph, starting with our actor is self-centered, through the next page, ending with concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity. And up next is Leslie W., followed by Vanessa G. Leslie, please share with us.
Hey, thanks, Laura. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. And, oh, goodness, I'm really glad we're in reading this because I can really relate to what's happening here. Am I not concerned with myself, my resentments, and my self-pity? I've been abstinent for 6 years, and I have gone through many ups and downs during that time. But, you know, the thing about it is, what will get me every time as far as my emotional sobriety is concerned
is placing myself in a position where I am expecting other people to behave a certain way. I place myself in the position of being their God. And in turn, I place them in a position of being my God. And so everything that they do or say wounds me, deeply affects me, causes me to spin out. And if someone is behaving badly, let's just say somebody has wronged me, okay? What I want to do is wallow in the injustice of it all. And that's my MO. That's my default, is to say, how could they do XYZ to me? Because don't you know, I'm their God and they're mine. And that's not the way they should be behaving. I place myself in a position to be hurt because I think I am in charge of that person and that they are in charge of me, which is not true. But it is so easy for me to believe that lie. And I can get lost in that. And before you know it, I'm sick. I'm emotionally disturbed. I am sick. I am a sick puppy. And so I'm so thankful, and my time is running out. I'm so thankful for this program today, which allows me to continue to work these steps and search for a spiritual solution.
Thanks, Leslie W. Thanks for sharing. Up next is Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Vanessa, please share with us.
Hi, this is Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Recovered 1 year today. This paragraph has manifested in my life, and not just in complaining, but, you know, maybe it goes a little bit deeper than that. Years ago, when I was younger, I was in a training class, and there was one woman in the class who always had an answer for everything. And we used to call her the RE, the resident expert. And that was me. I thought I had an answer and a solution for everything and for everybody. And that's actually my default setting. Oftentimes I'll find myself thinking that I have, you know, the answers, the big world problems, how to run the United States, you know, what my sister should be doing, what, you know, the mayor of the country, I mean, the mayor of the city should be doing. I have so many opinions, and they're not just opinions in my mind, they're solutions. And a year ago, when I first got here at a vision, I was in the midst of that, you know, thinking about myself in terms of solutions. I kept thinking to myself, you know, I've done this so many times. I've got recovery in another program. I've got decades of working steps and going to therapy and listening to fellows. And, you know, I know this stuff backwards and forwards. And what I know today is that I don't know anything. I really don't. I don't have the solutions, and I don't have the answers. I have to turn to a higher power for those things every morning. Every morning I've got to clear my mind and let go of my ideas and my little plans and my little schemes, and particularly my complaints and my opinions. I've got to let go and let God have it. And then go out and try to do my day, letting the answers come as I need them, and to remember that I'm not the resident expert. I have a new resident expert, and I am, you know, the answers are just closed to me as I need them. I'm so glad to be here today. I'm so grateful for all of you who bring me this meeting and who bring me the vision way of life. And there's people on this line that I've already heard, you know, the opening share this morning that have just been so instrumental in my recovery in the past year. Thank you, everybody, so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Vanessa G. from New Mexico, and congratulations on 1 year. Great, amazing. Great, so we are, just a reminder before I take new names, we are on page 61 of the big book, the second paragraph. Our actor is self-centered, ending on the next page with concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity. And I could probably take 5 or 6 more names. Please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Susan M. from Florida.
Susan M.
Big P. from Southern California.
Who's that from Southern California?
Mick C. Sorry for stepping on someone else.
Nick C. Nick with an N?
M as in Michael.
Mick C. Gotcha. Gotcha. Mick C. from Southern California.
And
who's?
It's Mick P. With, like Porter.
I'm sorry. I'm missing
sorry.
That.
Mick P. as in Peter.
Mick P. Got it. Mick P. from Southern California. Okay. Sorry.
David M.
Thank you.
David M.
Betsy H.
From Florida.
David M. from Florida. Mm-hmm. We got Betsy. Betsy H. Who's after Betsy?
Scott G. from Michigan.
Scott G. And I could take probably one more, maybe.
Brenda S.
Brenda S. like Sam?
Yes.
Okay, great. Great lineup. We've got Susan M., Mick P., David M., Betsy H., Scott G., and Brenda S. Susan M., please share with us.
Hi, thank you, Susan, Recovered Compulsive Reader. Really grateful to be here. Thank you for your service. Very grateful to hear you. I feel like when I was in the food, it was all about me. And I didn't realize, you know, I thought I was just trying to survive. I mean, but it was like, what am I going to eat and how am I going to compensate for this? And, you know, can people look at me afterwards or, you know, they know that I gained weight. I felt like I wore my behavior and then what am I going to do? How am I going to not do this again? And it was all about me. I would explain it as if I were in Disney World, just looking down at my feet the whole time. Like I could hear things around me. I can kind of sense that things are going on. But I was just super, super focused on me and compensating and the food and my appearance and everything. And it was just really tough. And in recovery, I feel like things have slowly opened up for me. You know, I can be more available to others. I can actually step out of myself and be of service. You know, it's just a different way of living. I can tune in to someone else, you know, when they're having a conversation with me and actually hear them, you know, just engage in different things, you know, my work, my school, the gym, for healthy reasons, not obsessed, you know, just kind of like things have a beginning and an end. And the end was not possible for me back then. So I'm really grateful for that. And I have to be careful because I can repeat the pattern. You know, I can start obsessing over things. Things can start breathing down my neck and I get worried and concerned and, you know, it's just on me and I'm analyzing. And, you know, that's like a spiritual symptom. It's like a cough or a sneeze in the spiritual realm. You know, it's like, okay, what's happening here? Do I need to beef up my nightly review? Do I need to do more 10 steps? Do I need to get more sleep? You know, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, what do I need to do? So just grateful for this program. It's a totally different way of living, but completely worth it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Susan from Florida. Great to hear you. Up next is Mick P., followed by David M. Mick? Mick, please press *1 to share with us.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Thank you. It's
there
Mick
you are.
P. in... Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Mick P. in Orange County, California. This is my second meeting. For OA, I had one yesterday, and glad to be here. I had good success with 12-step meeting for alcohol, and for the magic with this issue too. I can relate to the text today. I'm as egocentric and self-centered as anyone. Being a newcomer, I don't have any wisdom to share, so I'm going to sit back and shut up and listen. I will say that I am in the market for a sponsor, so I want to put that out there. And not sure how we facilitate that, but I look forward to more of these meetings and partaking of wisdom of the group. Now I'm going to pass and mute. Thank you.
Thanks, Mick, from Southern California. Thanks so much for sharing. And yes, stay on the line after the meeting, and somebody will be taking names of newcomers and sponsors, so get your pen ready. Up next is David M. from Florida, followed by Betsy H. David, go ahead.
Hi, this is David M. from Florida. Overeater, everything eater. Giving up my script to God is hard, and you know, I want to control everything around me. If I don't control any, if I'm not in control, I get a lot of anxiety. I can't control, you know, my employees or my coworkers. You know, my spouse or anything. It's just like I get a lot of anxiety. My employees, my employers, and you know, God told me something the other day that I was just like, wow, okay, that helps a lot. He's like, keep doing the right thing, and I have your back. And that really gave me a lot of confidence, you know. When I go to sign in for work, they don't want us signing on the cell phone and on the cell phones because they don't know if we're like 30 minutes away or close. They want us to sign in at work at the, you know, right at the, on the post where I work at. And I was late, and I was just like, you know, I'm gonna do the next right thing, and God's gonna take care of me. Yeah, I was 10 minutes late, and but that day went so well. Like, my boss, he likes when I wear a hat. I was wearing my hat. I walked by him, and I'm like, wow, this is great. You got to see me in my best, and my good mood, and you're smiling. It's just like things, I'm like, God's really taking care of me. I did, you know, if I didn't go inside and do, you know, it's just like, wow, he's really showing me. You know, I did the next flight best thing, and even though I had the temptation of signing in on my cell phone and not doing the right next thing, just keep going, do the right thing, and I'll take care of you. And that gave me so much strength that I went in the break room to get coffee, and there was, of course, there was cupcakes and donuts, and I'm like, I felt God was with me. I had dignity. I had respect for myself. I'm like, I was really happy. I'm like, God, thank you for, you know, really helping me just fill my soul with that. And so I'm like, okay, I trust you. I'll give you my scripts. Give me my scripts. I'll give you the people that bother me. He says, bless those that curse you. Bless those that, you know. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll bless them. He's like, vengeance is mine, he says. And I said,
gentle reminder.
He's like, don't take vengeance in your hands. Bless people, because, you know. And thank you. I pass. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, David M. from Florida. Thanks for sharing. Up next is Betsy H., followed by Scott G. Betsy, please share with us. Betsy, please press star 1 to share. Betsy, we're still not hearing you.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Betsy H., recovered closer reader from California. When I read this section with my sponsor the last time, she pointed out that all these people are blaming others and they're in self-pity, and they're not taking responsibility for their own happiness and peace of mind. And it really hit me like, oh, how much have I done that? A lot. In my disease of cortical soul reading seems to be a lot about self-pity and feeling blaming others and feeling that I'm a victim. And recovery is like the opposite. It's finding my part, just cleaning up my side of the street, and then getting into more of an attitude of gratitude. So I just wanted to share that little bit, and I pass.
Thanks, Betsy H. from California. Up next is Scott G. We are on page 61, the second paragraph of the big book. Our actor is self-centered, ending with concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity on the next page. Scott from Michigan, please share with us.
My name is Scott G. I'm a compulsive overeater from Michigan. Thanks for the meeting. Thanks for your service. Thanks for the reading. And I also want to thank Hannah B., introducing me to A Vision for You. I introduced myself as a newcomer a couple weeks ago, and thanks for those folks who reached out. And I have a sponsor. And this reading, what got me was that control part of me. If the rest of the world would only behave as Scott sees it. And the other part is the most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity. And I really appreciate how this meeting and this group breaks down the big book. I've been in another 12-step fellowship for two-thirds of my life, and the credits don't transfer to this. And I have been, went to my first OA meeting in Southern California 30 years ago. Just recently put 7 years together and then been in the food. And as many of you know, it's ugly. So I just thank God for today. And I need to focus on my spiritual well-being and utilizing these steps. And I'm so glad I have these tools. And I appreciate this meeting and appreciate this community. And I pass.
Thanks, Scott from Michigan. Thank you for sharing. Up next is Brenda S.
Hi, this is Brenda from Washington State. Yeah, I was struck by just the honesty of this paragraph. It's so interesting. And the conversations that I have with people are just super honest. Here, I like this a lot. It says, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. You know, I just, it's just so unique, the self-searching and just strengthening. This group is super strengthening. I'm pretty new. I've been in like a food program for the last, since April, May, I started coming to 12-step meetings online. And I don't know, just taking responsibility for our own actions. It's just so freeing. And I'm just really appreciating that. And another part, though, that I think I really struggle with is taking too much responsibility. So there's sort of like a selfish thing. I don't know. I haven't figured this out, but somehow I must be the problem. You know, I'm sure that that's some sort of selfish self-centeredness too. Yeah, I just really appreciate this program. Appreciate you everybody being here. Thank you. Brenda from Washington State.
Thanks, Brenda from Washington. We have time for another share if anybody would like to share. Take 3 minutes.
Nirvana A. from California.
This is Jessica in Los Angeles.
I heard Nirvana A from, I think, Los Angeles. If we have time, we could take one more. But Nirvana, go ahead, share with us.
Okay, I'll be really quick so the other person can share as well. So I was listening to a podcast, and it was saying, if you squeeze an orange, what do you get? You get orange juice. And then I was thinking, if you squeeze me, what do you get? You get resentment. You get fears. You get all this blaming, jealousy, comparison. And it was saying that the difference between normal human beings and saints is that saints just have unconditional love, but not unconditional love like a doormat, but with wisdom and with boundaries. So then I was talking to my sponsor, and I was thinking, telling her, yeah, I want to be like the person when you squeeze them, you'll get unconditional love with wisdom. And this program is helping me to get rid of my character defects and replace it with unconditional love. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Nirvana. Thanks for sharing with us. We do have time for one more, about 2 minute share. Who would like to share? I missed that last person that said their name before.
Danielle J.
Danielle J., take 2 minutes for us, please. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much, Danielle J. from Washington State. And if I said that I didn't do, you know, any of this, I would not be telling truth. Good grief. But I hope I do it less, enough that people don't give me a wide berth like they used to, and that they forgive me, which I think does happen. So, but we say real quick, we just recently got a puppy. Daughter's fiance is afraid of, and so I thought, oh, you know, we'll just go to the local park and I'll help them through it. But you know, they wanted to go to the larger dog park because you know, he'll be able to see more people and so on. And as I listened, I realized, oh, okay, all right, there's another way. And I think that's what's just really stretching me these days, is that there's another way. And I fell and bonked my head. So part of what I'm missing is some cognitive ability, which is really actually giving me a lot of humility. So I can step back and go, okay, I don't understand. Can you explain this? I'm sure my husband feels like a genius these days. But again, I can step back and go, oh, okay. Oh, I see. And it's just, again, stretching a muscle, like going skiing if I haven't gone before, something like that. Anyway, thank you very much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Danielle J. And thank you to everyone who shared with us today and for everyone who helped make this meeting possible. It's time to close the meeting, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Betsy H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.